Well, one of the most important thinkers after Marx, who extended our understanding of capitalism and how it shapes our lives, was the Italian Marxist Antonio Gramsci, whose life was shortened by a long prison term imposed by Mussolini. Here's the Old Mole's Fran Michel to tell us who he was and why he is important.
Good morning. This is Fran Michel here with the Well-Read Red. I've been thinking lately of the often-cited motto of the Italian Marxist Antonio Gramsci, to the effect that what leftists require is pessimism of the intellect and optimism of the will. We need to recognize the potentially daunting complexity and power of the situation we are working to change, and yet remain undaunted about the possibility of changing it. Pessimism of the intellect, optimism of the will, was a perspective Gramsci had reason to know something about. Born in Italy in 1891, Gramsci, spelled G-R-A-M-S-C-I, grew up poor but won a scholarship to the University of Turin, where he developed his interests in socialism. He lived through the success of the Russian Revolution in 1917 and the failure of the like to happen in the rest of Europe. Co-founder of the Italian Communist Party in 1921, Gramsci saw the rise to power in Italy of Mussolini's fascism. And after Mussolini outlawed the Communist Party in 1926, Gramsci spent most of the rest of his life in prison. The writing he did there, before his death in 1937, came to light only many years later, but Gramsci's prison notebooks have been an important resource for those seeking to understand the persistence of capitalism, the rise of fascism, and the possibilities of socialism. Gramsci's re-examinations of Marx emphasize that changing socioeconomic circumstances do not of themselves produce political changes. Gramsci resisted dogmatic or abstract conceptions of Marxism and simplistic notions of the economic base determining the social or cultural superstructure. Instead, he emphasized the creativity of everyday culture, the intellectual capacities of all people, the importance of ideology and ideological struggles in creating political alliances, and the contradictions existing in every historical moment. In his essay on the study of philosophy, which appears in his prison notebooks, Gramsci observes, quote, "It is essential to destroy the widespread prejudice that philosophy is a strange and difficult thing just because it is the specific intellectual activity of a particular category of specialists or of professional and systematic philosophers. It must first be shown that all people are philosophers by defining the limits and characteristics of the spontaneous philosophy which is proper to everybody. This philosophy is contained in, for instance, language itself, which is a totality of determined notions and concepts and not just of words grammatically devoid of content." End quote. Well, he didn't say that exactly. He said or wrote something like that, but in Italian. Translations are sometimes vexed. Slavoj Žižek has quoted Gramsci as saying, in 1930, "The old world is dying, and the new world struggles to be born. Now is the time of monsters." But what he actually said translates more literally as, "The crisis consists precisely in the fact that the old is dying and the new cannot be born. In this interregnum, a great variety of morbid symptoms appear." Žižek apparently translated a loose French translation back into English, and I confess I quite like the more colorful version. But to return to Gramsci's comments on the question of language more directly, he notes that everyone is a philosopher, though in their own way and unconsciously, since even in the slightest manifestation of any intellectual activity whatever in language, there is contained a specific conception of the world. And then, quote, "One proceeds to the question, is it better to think without having critical awareness in a disjointed and episodic way? In other words, is it better to take part in a conception of the world mechanically imposed by one of the many social groups in which everyone is automatically involved from the moment of entry into the conscious world? Or, on the other hand, is it better to work out consciously and critically one's own conception of the world and thus, in connection with the labors of one's own brain, choose one's sphere of activity, take an active part in the creation of the history of the world, and not simply to accept passively and without care the imprint of one's own personality from outside," end quote. As you might guess, Gramsci endorses that active and critical approach to conceiving of the world. But though it relies on the labors of one's own brain, it's also a social and political process, since one's conception of the world develops in interaction with the available ideas, shapes one's actions, and influences what vision of the world one will give one's consent to. Gramsci is perhaps best known for stressing the notion of hegemony. This is an idea of cultural and intellectual as well as political and economic dominance, in which social practice is seen to depend on consent to certain dominant ideas, which in fact express the needs of a dominant class. Raymond Williams, in his book Keywords, offers a brief account of hegemony. Quote, "In its simplest use, it extends the notion of political predominance from relations between states to relations between classes, as in bourgeois hegemony. But the character of this predominance is not limited to matters of direct political control, but seeks to describe a more general predominance, which includes, as one of its key features, a particular way of seeing the world and human nature and relationships. These ways of seeing the world and ourselves and others are not just intellectual but political facts, expressed over a range from institutions to relationships and consciousness. Hegemony depends for its hold not only on its expression of the interests of a ruling class, but also on its acceptance as normal reality or common sense by those in practice subordinated to it. In this view, revolution is not just the transfer of political or economic power, but the overthrow of a specific hegemony. That is to say, an integral form of class rule, which exists not only in political and economic institutions and relationships, but also in active forms of experience and consciousness. This can only be done, it is argued, by creating an alternative hegemony, a new predominant practice and consciousness." End quote. In that essay on the study of philosophy, Gramsci writes, quote, "Creating a new culture does not only mean one's own individual original discoveries. It means also and especially the diffusion in a critical form of truths already discovered, socializing them, as it were, and even making them the basis of vital action." End quote. This diffusion of critical truths as the basis for vital action is part of what we try to accomplish on The Old Mole. For The Well-Read Red, this is Fran Michel, wishing you pessimism of the intellect and optimism of the will.